All right, don't freak out. No, this isn't Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You're still listening to Sundial on WLRN, I promise. Comedian Paula Poundstone has become an iconic voice for a lot of NPR fans on the show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But if you're a fan of comedy, you've been watching her for years. I remember watching all the way back in the 80s. She's been doing stand-up for 40 years. She's also got a recent book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. And she's co-hosting a podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. She is the voice also of Forgetter Paula in the Pixar movie Inside Out. Maybe you saw that. Well, this weekend, Paula's coming to the Coral Springs Center for the Arts. WLRN is a cultural partner in the event, and you can find ticket information on our website, WLRN.org. She joins us now from the NPR studios in Los Angeles, Paula Poundstone. It's such a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. You know what?
I have been doing stand-up for 40 years because I'm the luckiest performer in the world. But this is the first time I followed an interview about Brazilian butt lifts. And so it's a special honor today.
Well, you know what? Listen, I'm going to get to you about your podcast because I think you've also talked to a plastic surgeon, right, for your podcast.
I have, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you talked about that, but I want to ask
you
about that.
No, I didn't even. You know, honestly, I guess I've heard the term one time. But I didn't realize it was such a booming business. I didn't realize the impact of the Brazilian butt lift on our culture.
Oh, let me tell you, that's a whole other story, definitely. You know, I mean, I was thinking about, the opportunity to talk to you. And yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, growing up watching you back in the 80s. But I wondered what got you started. Why did you want to go into comedy?
Who wouldn't want to go into comedy? I love the sound of laughter. Even as a kid, I loved the sound of adult laughter, especially. Opening sentence of the last paragraph of the summary letter written by my kindergarten teacher in May of 1965, which they wrote in lieu of a report card, said, "I have enjoyed many of Paula's humorous comments about our activities." And so from the time I was very young, I guess I got a little credit for it. And then really, I happened to live in Boston during the early part of the comedy. I don't know, some people call it the comedy renaissance. The stand-up comedy started happening again in late 70s. And so I started in Boston in 79.
You know what? I always love going to shows, and I'm one of those people, like, I'm overanalyze things. I'm watching the comedian, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how they've set themselves up. I know some of them have their routine. I've seen comedians who look at the stage. They look at the floor because they actually have strips of tape that kind of tell them where they can go next. But mine,
really?
Yeah. Oh, no. You know what? I mean, I lived in Vegas for 4 years, and I'm not going to mention the comedian, but I've seen that, and I thought, oh, my God, that's different. You do a lot of improv, and one of the things that's interesting about you is that you talk to the audience. You're not just telling, you talk to them, and you try to get them to tell more about themselves.
The audience is the best part of the whole thing, obviously. My favorite part, I mean, I have was somewhere rattling around in my head 40 years of material. Some of it, some of it's sort of very relevant to my life at the time, and my act is largely autobiographical. Some of it, is in there somewhere, but it was a story that happened a long time ago. I don't think about it anymore. And hopefully, I think I have good material. But my favorite part of the night, nonetheless, is just talking to you. I do the time-honored, where are you from? What do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies of audience members emerge, and I use that from which to set my sails. So every show has sort of its own identity. There are times when, you know, I'll say to somebody, what do you do for a living or something, and they'll say something that reminds me of a piece of material, and I'll blurt that out. Probably more frequently, it's just unique to that night. It's never been said before, and I probably won't be saying it again. Because, you know, you get these little stories that are, and then I kind of go back to those open wells throughout the night.
Yeah. I wondered if there's one time that you ask somebody, you know, what do you do for a living? And you got just the weirdest answer. I mean,
this is terrible. I would say for the first 30 years, I could remember every show. If somebody came up and they told me, they said, well, we were there the night of the Love Criminals in Chicago, which was a name I gave a couple that was in the audience. Well, that show I do remember. But there was a time where people could come up and they could tell me the audience they were a part of, and I would go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Now, I don't know. At about 30 years, I guess, it just, my cup filled, and I can't do that anymore. And so I can't remember. I know I've gotten some great answers. I did have the other night. Okay, the other night I asked a woman what she did. And she was part of a couple. There was a guy beside her. She says she inherited, and where the hell were we? Santa Cruz, I think. She inherited a ranch, and so we talked about that a little bit, and then it turned out it was a rabbit ranch she had inherited, which are almost impossible to saddle.
Oh my gosh.
Saddling a rabbit takes a lot of work, and you know, you gotta ride English because they'll toss you. I have had some great audience members.
Okay, that's a new one for me. I've never heard of that.
You know what's funny? Yesterday I was in conversation. I forget where the hell I was, but I was in conversation with somebody yesterday that brought up rabbit ranching. Oh, I know. It was one of the engineers on my podcast said that his parents were rabbit ranchers. I'm like, what? I never heard of this in my life, and now I've heard it twice in 1 week. Well, rabbit ranching comes in threes.
You know what?
You probably have a rabbit ranching story you'd like to share with me.
I don't, but I'm going to go look for one. I don't know if we have those in South Florida, but I'm going to look.
Please tell me I'm not going to hear two more Brazilian butt lift stories in the next week.
No, we've done enough of that already. We're talking with Paula Poundstone, stand-up comedian. You've heard her on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me for years now. And she's going to be performing at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts Saturday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. WLRN is a partner in that event. I wanted to ask you about your book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. And I gathered you're like a guinea pig in this because you were just trying different things to figure out what is the key to happiness. And I wanted to ask you about when you started hugging everybody.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the Get Warm and Fuzzy experiment. Every chapter in the book is written as an experiment, by the way, with the hypothesis and the conditions and the variables and the qualitative and quantitative observations. The analysis part of each chapter is where I check back in with my regular life, because the question to me wasn't what would I enjoy. I have a handle on what I enjoy. The question was, what could I do that would leave my overall life with a bounce, you know, so that when I'm in the trenches, when I'm doing, you know, my chores and taking care of my kids and, you know, raising a house full of kids and animals and travel, that I would still have this, you know, this reservoir of good feeling. And so one of the experiments that I did try, I had heard about a guy who hugs everyone he meets, and he found success with this. So I decided to give that a shot. And the day that I did it, in fact, was Wait, Don't Tell Me show day, but we were traveling. We were going to Red Rocks in Colorado. And so I started my day really at the airport. And I'll tell you something about the TSA. They do not like hugging.
You tried to pull that off.
I am now on the do not hug list at the TSA. No, what I realized early on in the experiment, and A, you can't just lunge at someone and hug them. That I knew already. But, you know, for a lot of people, it needs to be something that's uplifting to both people. And for a lot of people, it wouldn't work that way. And so, you know, I didn't want to be getting my own high off of someone else's depletion. That wouldn't work. Yeah. So I satisfied myself while at the airport with either, you know, a handshake with like a really good eye contact, or just plain eye contact and a smile.
Yeah.
I said later that I felt as I was walking down the hallway of the airport smiling at everyone. I felt like Carol Channing panhandling, because I had this huge smile on my face, as Carol Channing did have. In the end, however, after Red Rocks in Colorado seats, I think, either 9,000 or 8,500 people. And afterwards, after the show, we were supposed to go back for like some sort of wine and cheese, big donators to public radio event. And I was delayed in getting to the event after the show because I hugged approximately 100 audience members.
Wow.
That, I sort of hugged the first person, and then like a line, there was a line of people waiting to be hugged. And I got to say, by the way, for those who are wondering how the experiment worked, it under the moon outside in one of the most beautiful performing settings there is, which is Red Rocks in Colorado. You're among Red Rocks, up on a hill or a mountain, I guess. One of the greatest experiences of my life. It was just fantastic. So I highly recommend. And every now and then, now I'll be like at a hotel or an airport or one of the places that I frequent, and someone will come up to me and tell me that they are doing the hugging experiment from my book.
Well,
and could they give me a hug?
I'll tell you this: you could do it in South Florida. We do a lot of hugging here.
Are you guys huggers? Oh, really?
We are huggers.
I know that you all have high butts.
Latinos.
I know that's important.
Well, Latinos like to hug, so you're going to be okay if you do that here.
Oh, good. Because it is, you know, that connection. You know, the truth is about comedy in general. Yes.
Yeah, what? No. I just only because
what?
I
did you have something?
I have to end it. That's the problem.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I know. Well, listen.
I don't know if you know this, but I have OCD and I can't stop talking.
Oh, okay.
So you just turn your thing off and I'll stay here and keep going.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, Peter Sagal gave me a couple pointers on how to do this. So.
Did he? Oh, good.
Paula Poundstone, again, she is going to be performing at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts Saturday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. You can hear more of these stories and maybe you can hug her. Paula Poundstone, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. That's our program for today, this Wednesday, February 20th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.